Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's time for the Wrestling Perspective Podcast, the most misquoted podcast on all the internet. So please, guys, whatever I say, don't misquote me. I will try to learn to speak more clearly going forward. That right there is NDA Steel. What's up, my friend?
Gentlemen, how are you?
That's right. And hey, the Traveling Wonder is back. We thought we got rid of him. We thought he left to go to a whole new continent, but he is back. Lars Fredrickson.
Yes, I was on a whole new continent, but remember, Dennis, I will always be here.
Aww, that's right. You missed a lot. Ace was misquoted.
What the heck?
I did the same. I didn't get hard. Look at you. You just, you're like a fucking.
Maybe it's something like in my thing. I don't know.
You're like strawberry shortcake or something. Like, you know,
I'm just I'm obviously the chosen one on this podcast.
Balloons and hearts. Oh my gosh. I feel the love on this podcast, fellas. Normally this week we would be doing a show review, but we decided to push it back a week because Lars was out of town and, you know, his trips, he doesn't watch any wrestling on his trips apparently. So,
it's hard because number one, I'm in England, right? And they don't have like Hulu, and the show times of the pro wrestling are on different channels. And if I'm in a hotel, which I am, I might not get Sky Sports or whatever is showing the thing. And then YouTube, like, they'll block certain content. So it's, I can't do my studying.
If you weren't in a hotel, would you be in a hostel or something? Like, I mean, what do you mean? If I'm not in a hotel.
Well, I could be staying with friends.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You have friends?
No, but if I did, I would be staying with friends.
How appropriate for Valentine's Day.
He's like a WWE superstar coming out to the big graphics overhead now. He's got his own stuff. Look at this. He's going to have pyro coming off next time we introduce him.
Well, Sean Ross Sapp gives me a production budget.
Wow.
His company misquotes you guys, but he gives me a production budget.
Listen, let's get it straight. You got that line here. They just misquote AIDS.
No, I know. But see, that's the thing. It's like, Ace has got to open up his big mouth and you know, give him the skinny about how our buddy CM Punk, a.k.a. Right. Phil Brooks, is going to do something that, you know, obviously, I wish, it's funny, Ace, because I feel like sometimes, you know, I'll get asked to be interviewed and it's always like CM Punk orientated. Like, first of all, like, I'm going to spill any beans. Yeah. Secondly, like, certain things we don't talk about. We're friends, you know. Mm-hmm. The wrestling business and these things are like these side notes to our friendships, you know. Obviously you're his trainer and, you know, there's going to be things that you might know that I wouldn't, and I might know that you wouldn't, or vice versa. Or, and we both know that, like, even if we were in part of talking with him to help him make decisions, never would we ever divulge information publicly, because that's just not who we are. We're old school in that sense. You know what I mean? We're not looking for fucking clickbait. We're not wrestling news, you know, fucking dirt sheet people. But Dennis, I know we have a lot of stuff that we want to talk about. What was the first?
First and foremost is Scott D'Amore getting fired. This happens today of the recording, which is, to me, is a huge loss. D'Amore was one of the first people in wrestling to kind of welcome me backstage, be very kind to me based on, you know, who I know and Petey Williams. I've gone out to dinner. I've hung out with D'Amore. Ace, I know you've worked, and Lars, you've been back at Impact a few times. For me,
TNA, Dennis.
TNA. Well, you were there when it's Impact.
Yeah, that's true. But we're just referring to it.
TNA. For me, personally, and listen, I don't know Lou. I know you guys know Lou, and Lou has moved up the ladder. So I don't know if Lou is good or bad for business. I can't speak on this. But I, for what I've seen DeMore do for that company, you know, I think Jordan Grace, or I don't want to misquote the wrestler, but someone basically said, hey, DeMore basically broke Impact down to its studs, brought it back up with a limited budget. He should be credited for finding some of these small guys that he turned into superstars. You know, people have re-signed in that company because of him. And me personally, not knowing anything, being a fan, seeing what I see, I worry a little bit for TNA going forward without him at the helm on who may jump ship. Do they have the leadership in place right now to be able to still find those stars that Scott DeMore found?
I wholeheartedly, so to start, just to talk about Scott DeMore, again, I echo the same sentiments, tremendous loss. I believe what you said, without really knowing myself, because I just stepped into a role as a producer here not long ago. We had gone back and forth, basically playing phone tag to get me to come in as a producer over the last year or so. And it finally came to fruition in October, with I will still be going to New Orleans here in a couple of weeks for the No Surrender pay-per-view. I can tell you that the talent is heartbroken. Everyone, a lot of people are heartbroken. That place is a tight-knit, very tight-knit community. If you guys have ever, I used to be a supervisor and run a crew, and they work for you. You know, the best thing you could do for your crew is have them work for you. For they work, you know, I had gentlemen calling me boss, and I just would laugh. Yeah, right. Right. But they would call, you know, that was the amount of respect they had for me. And they still call me boss when they send me a birthday text or things like that. People wholeheartedly believed in him and in his vision. And I know it's heartbreaking for him. I thanked him today. I know I see a lot of talents are out there, talents, staff thanking him. When you look at corporate, when you back up, I've seen a lot of changes in different companies. We were just talking off camera about some changes in other companies as well. It still runs. It still survives. When you have a structure in place, one that he put in place, it will still survive. As far as talent going, you know, that's up to them. That's the nature of the wrestling business. No matter how much they were, you know.
Let me cut you real fast, Ace. You know, sure. I mean, I know there's a lot of great sentiments about him, but you know, we both know Lou, and if Lou's taking a bigger position or more responsibility, we know that he can handle it.
Yes, exactly. I mean, again, the infrastructure that was put in place, mainly Scott's decisions, you know, in a lot of ways, like, hey, do we like this guy? You know, when I was brought in, it was, let's see if it's a fit for all of us, you know, let's talk and see if this is a fit all the way around. We're not just going to bring, it's not one of those situations where you just get thrown in and you just work with people that you're, you know, when I worked for a company way back when, as I was talking, you just are handed a position and, you know, if you're, and I'm talking about a major communication corporation where you're together and you're butting heads with someone, you got to work with them. That's basically what real life is. You have to do that no matter what. You probably have people at record companies you don't, you know, not naming names, but, you know, you didn't like to deal with, or you name it, bandmates at some point. Who knows? But.
Well, here's the thing that, you know, I want to jump in because, you know, the thing that strikes me the most is we've had Scott DeMore on this show and we've talked about him. But one of the things I think maybe this is why this move is made, because I feel like maybe Scott actually could see talent, but maybe he didn't have the wherewithal to bring him to that next level. Because when there was moments where we were talking, you know, I was, you know, talking with them about music, Scott DeMore had no clue about, like, you know, he knows about Frank Sinatra and these, you know, these other great artists, but that's also 100 years ago. Not taking away anything from Frank Sinatra, because that's legendary. But my point is that you have to have the finger on the pulse of what's happening now in order to create a now product. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
And so maybe the move is because there's more money for production. Maybe there's more, it's for newer ideas. Not that saying that Scott couldn't do that, but I mean, maybe was that a factor? Like, and I'm not saying because I know have some insight or anything, and I love Scott D'Amore. I think what he did with that company is incredible. It's one of my favorite wrestling companies to watch. But my point is does he have the now kind of vision that he needs in order to succeed? I mean, and it was the company making money? You know, that's another thing we have to ask.
You know, I, the only thing I know in that realm is that that show at the Palms in Vegas, the pay-per-view, did the best attendance and numbers it's done in 10 years. So right. That, it, you know, fresh off of that. But as far as everything else goes, yeah, I'm not privy to that. Nor, you know,
because why are you changing? Right. Well, you change leadership because A, you're not making money and you've had this run and you're still not getting in the black, so to speak. You're still in the red. That's kind of why I see this. And I feel like maybe there, you know, it's a younger man's game when it comes to record labels, you know, the way records are or music, you know, in my experience, you know, the kids are getting, you know, popular and selling out venues off of a TikTok click, you know, yeah. Clip. You know what I mean? So that's the way it's kind of moved in a lot of ways. And I feel like wrestling is the, in a lot of the ways, and entertainment is the same way. So we don't watch episodic TV like we used to. We're now streaming. We're now doing these other things. Like, I mean, the WWE is going to fucking Netflix. Excuse my French. Maybe beep that out, Dennis, so we can get WWE talent on our show. But like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, mm-hmm. it's a whole different world. And maybe Scott D'Amore was too much in the, you know, he wasn't quite tapping into what needed to tap in as far as, you know, what these big wigs at these companies are saying, like, no, we need influencers. We need these things now. Because that, like, if you look at the WWE and even AEW, in a lot of senses, they have these influencers. They have these people that have feet in different worlds. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like, take Swerve Strickland. He's an artist too, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And who's also been a guest on the show. So it's like, maybe that's what you know, Dennis, what are your thoughts about it?
Well, I am actually going to take over interview here and ask you both a question that I don't know. And you guys know me very well, and this is a legit question. Give me your scouting report on Lou. What for anyone that loves Impact and may have heard the name Lou, but doesn't really know anything about Lou, like me, what can you guys tell me about Lou? Maybe what you may think his leadership may be, or what different direction your opinions, and don't misquote them, would be.
Well, I'll answer this first. And this is what I do know about Lou. Lou, I feel like, sees the future. And part of the reason I will say that is because of my dealings with him, just on a personal level. Like, he has produced and been a part of gigantic shows, Vegas shows. So I think he understands what needs to happen. So I think he'll be able to take that to another level. I really think that, you know, if for those who don't know, Lou was signed Guy Dudley. I just think that he's got a pulse and he's got kids and he probably sees, I mean, because that's the thing. It's really important these days. And my kids have helped me see a lot of these things that I necessarily wouldn't have seen because they're teenagers, right? So now I'm getting to exposed to a whole different way they're consuming things. And that definitely influences, you know, decisions I make artistically in a lot of ways, not in every way. I'm still always going to be doing this a certain way, but I'm going to take elements and maybe add them to what I'm doing now. Ace.
As you said, Lou DeAngeli, signed Guy Dudley from ECW days, but helped a lot back with ECW, as everyone did in ECW behind the scenes. You hear the stories about Bubba Ray, Dreamer, a lot of them having, you know, wearing many hats behind the scenes. Lou is a marketing whiz. Cirque du Soleil under his belt, worked with World Wrestling Entertainment at one point, came into Anthem, and then actually he works for Anthem itself with Invicta Fights as well, not just TNA, but 100% agree. He's got the finger on the pulse. You know, it's something I never did consider before, is that having kids and having, you know, there's so many things out there, and I'll look like, this is, you know, I'm 51 now. I don't know what the hell, you know, the Grammys were on the other night. I used to watch award shows all the time because I loved it. I still like some pop music, so you guys could crucify me someday.
We will.
Yeah. But, you know,
Not
I'm still a little
someday,
bit into it.
Today.
But, you know, my wife is 9 years younger. She's got a little more of, hey, no, this is what's happening too. Like, oh, because I'm stuck in my zone. I have one playlist. It's, you know, it's, I'll ask for new metal from different people because I don't know what's out there. You know what I mean? But Lou is a factor definitely in the success of the recent, over the last year, of ticket sales, marketing, things of that nature. I'll give him that props, of course. Not to say, again, not to take anything away from the team, but his inclusion in all this has really helped them rise.
Yeah, I mean, if you look back at when Lou joined this company and how the company just started to gradually go like this, then you'll understand that like having somebody as valuable as him around, it's no wonder. I mean, I feel like it's, you know, it's not anything to take away from Scott either. Scott got it to a certain place and he was smart enough to pick the people that would then take it to the next level. And, you know, sometimes, you know, we can get stagnant. And there's always going to be, you know, and unless we sort of adapt or really, I just don't think you can do that in the entertainment wrestling field. I feel like rock and roll, you can kind of make a steady career. Look at the Ramones or Motorhead. It's not like they made the same record every time, but they stayed in their lane and were
Sure.
successful with it. I just don't think that you can do that with wrestling. I just don't think you can.
I agree. And how many times have we sat here and interviewed people? And some people have that wherewithal to evolve their creativity. And some people, it's still the same thing, but different ideas around that planet. And I kind of, as much as I love Scott, I think Scott was a wartime president. He was the guy that built it up. And but when you get it to a certain point, Bill Belichick, you know, you are stuck in your way, you can't get out, and
Yeah,
that will be your downfall.
but your Bill Belichick also had a Tom Brady and then gave him nine different targets to hit, you
But Petey
know, and
left, though.
that but you know what I'm saying? It's like the wrestlers being bands. If you look at Epitaph Records, we're literally the only band that's been there from ni the 90s that's there now. And if you look at the bands and the artists that are on that record label, it's completely different. It wouldn't be, you know, and that's Brett Gurewitz's foresight to understand that in order to survive, there has to be some sort of change to it. You know, Rancid is going to stay in our lane. We're going to make good fucking solid punk rock for the rest of our lives, right? You stop it, Ace. And, you know, sorry, I know you're a Swiftie, but anyways,
My ass.
yeah, whatever. Maybe, but my point is that like Scott D'Amore, you know, was running this label and maybe now we, it's just, yes. I mean, I think we've, unless you have anything else to add, Ace, maybe we could go on to the next
I
subject.
do have one more thing before we do
Okay.
move on. Listen, we know Scott D'Amore doesn't need wrestling. He's a very successful business person outside of it. So if he chose to stay in wrestling, what company right now could he go to and make that quote unquote impact into their company and maybe take them to the next level that you can see?
Well, I would say AEW, but you know the problem there, right there. I anybody that's goes in there that knows what the hell that they're doing soon leaves. You know what I mean? And I think the track record speaks for itself. If he goes and partners with like a Billy Corgan for the NWA, I feel like that would take it to, you know, I really feel like that's where he would be most needed. I just don't think he would get anything done except for maybe cash a paycheck in AEW. I mean, at this point, they're losing the guys that you want to watch the TV show for are either A, injured, or I mean, other than Swerve. I mean, that's why I want to watch is Swerve, but MJF is I mean, you know, he's injured. You know, I just don't know if he could go there. It's Tony's company. I don't think Tony is, I don't think would understand a guy like Scott D'Amore. I think I don't necessarily know if that would work.
I would lean MLW. I think MLW would be close for company wise along the same parallels. MLW would be almost like an Impact, traditional wrestling company. NWA, I feel like if you like old school niche wrestling, I don't know if DeMoor could go in there and change anything in there.
I mean, DeMoor could go easily slip into a WWE system and be successful.
Right.
I really,
but he won't
honestly,
go to sure. Producer, I don't think.
Well, I mean, Ace, what do you think?
I don't think he would have a producer role. I mean, that's always possible. I think he'd be utilized in different things. I think he'd
you
be
think,
useful.
By the way, he didn't tell you, right? I just want
right.
to make this clear.
I think.
So Scott DeMoor would be on commentary?
Right. Scott DeMoor is being hired for commentary next week.
From WWE. Alongside right. CM Punk.
Yes. Alongside CM Punk. Ah. And they are resurrecting Bobby the Brain Heenan as well. Be the
you
greatest
heard
team
it
you,
here.
You've ever seen. Then Mike Jesse, Tenet is coming in, the professor
right,
as well.
And Jesse the Body Ventura is going to AEW on
yes,
commentary.
Brother. Yes, yeah. brother.
Wow.
Yeah, with Tony Schiavone.
So much news.
I mean, actually did like Schiavone.
If it's breaking news about commentators in professional wrestling, listen to the number one breaker of news of commentators of professional wrestling, number one, Ace Steele.
That's
who's
right.
always off by one word, if. If.
I think Scott, I do think Scott would be more valuable in like an NXT system. They have a lot of people in place for Endeavor, and we've seen, you know, they've done the cuts across the board because you can't have, you know, two people for the same job. So they've melded a lot of things, molded, you know, they've meshed a lot together, which, you know, unfortunately is what happens when companies merge. But I think he would be better served in an NXT system, especially with the change coming up, you know, in 2025. Correct the window. They're going to the CW. Mm-hmm. So
it,
I think there's.
They're not. I thought they might be going sooner. Is that?
I don't know.
I may have my date wrong, but yeah. I thought they were going but, next year.
Well, you heard it here first. Ace Still says they're leaving in 2025.
I click on the internet and I forget. I just like I forgot if I left the microwave on.
Good old clickbait right steel.
Clickbait. Yeah. Oh, that sounds weird. That'll get misconstrued real fast.
Let's move on. And I don't know if any of us are country music fans. I'm not, but Toby Keith passed away the other day at 62. And the only reason why I'm bringing this up is because Toby Keith was a wrestling fan. If you remember 2010, I believe he was on an episode of Raw. He did something with Sheamus and Santino Marella and maybe the Bella Twins, if I remember correctly. Then he was part of TNA for a short time. I believe he was part of their very first pay-per-view broadcast, showed up, did something with Scott Hall a week later, and maybe one or two more shows up after that. And I don't know if you guys remember this, but how many wrestling fans that were musicians do you remember going on a show and kind of making, I wouldn't say Toby made an impact, but when you see a Toby Keith on TV, you go, oh wow, I didn't know he was a wrestling fan or anything. Like Dimitri Young is one of those guys where whether you remember or not, he was actually the very first guest on Edge's talk show when he had his in-ring talk show, you know, Dimitri, former co-host here. So I bring this up to say, what sports athlete artist showed up, did an episode or two, maybe even a wrestling match that was your all-time favorite?
I love Ozzy Osbourne in WrestleMania too. He didn't have anything to do but show up. And I'm like, what is Ozzy doing here? And mind you, think of WrestleMania two. That was what, 86. I didn't know who Ozzy was. I was too young to really understand. I knew he was a musician, but as I go through the years and get more into rock music and metal, I realized what the hell, Ozzy was there. Like, genius. I mean, and then, well, now when you're pulling it back to Cyndi Lauper being there, which the boom, the rock and wrestling boom, like that was another genius move that was done to elevate pro wrestling, which, you know, set it off. Just, you know, the world's everything just lined up perfectly with the heels, the babies, yada yada yada. As far as going years later, it may be kind of forgotten. And Lars, you could tell me from your perspective how much this was the sheets. And the Misfits ended up wrestling for WCW. Jerry Only was wrestling.
And so did the Insane Clown Posse. And Master P was there too. So, I mean, there's been a load of... But I also feel like bringing the celebrity... I mean, put it this way. The celebrity element killed the WCW.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
With making a celebrity a heavyweight champion. But that's then again Vince Russo's idea, and he sort of like, you know, put his nail in his own coffin. But Mike Tyson was what will always be the most legitimate celebrity guest that you could ever bring into. I mean, that was Shades of Muhammad Ali. I mean, that was being done in you know, obviously earlier than that. So, you know, the foresight of bringing in like a legit boxer into the deal. I mean, we've seen what Bob Sapp did in Japan. I mean, that was huge, right? So, you know, I mean, I feel like adding the celebrities in there, the when I think they work is when they have some athletic ability. You know, Lawrence Taylor with Bam Bam Bigelow, I don't know. You know, I really wish, I mean, Bam Bam obviously was one hell of a worker for making Lawrence Taylor.
I think that's an underrated match, but yes, credit to Bam Bam for that. I think that's underrated.
But that's all Bam Bam. You know, that's Bam Bam hand-holding. But then you get a guy like Snoop Dogg when Shane McMahon at WrestleMania sees something happening and calls an audible and drops an elbow or whatever.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, there's a lot of things, you know, but you don't want Snoop Dogg to jump off your top rope, obviously, but because that was horrendous. But I mean, you know, I feel like there's a lot of celebrities that have made impacts, but the more believable ones have always been like professional athletes or something that's similar. Toby Keith, your original thing, you know, you never want to see, you never want to see, first of all, a wrestling fan is a wrestling fan, no matter what genre, what it is. We're always going to have something in common, no matter what other thing that they're into, whatever it is, there's always something in common. And when we lose somebody like a Toby Keith in the world of music, I feel like the world of music hurts. I'm not a fan. I could barely probably pick him out of a lineup. But as a musician, you always got to pay respect.
I got two things. Toby Keith, I was around TNA in the early days. That's when I worked there that first year. I never crossed paths with him, but I do recall him being used. And for the country music audience being running out of Nashville, the pop was huge because he was a big country star. And I have a bit of the pulse, at least from like 90s country or so. So I knew who he was into the 2000s. You know, the world's different now for music, but I think that was used properly. I had no idea until I read the bio that he had anything to do with Jeff Jarrett possibly buying TNA/Impact back in the day, that it had something to do with Dixie Carter being included and they backed off, or that he was a part of Global Force Wrestling. I had no idea about any of that. The second thing is, one person I completely forgot until you were mentioning things is Bad Bunny. Bad Bunny, I had no clue who this man was, but I live in Florida. Predominantly, there's a Puerto Rican population in, it's a Latin population. That dude is huge. And I happened to be around the PC a little bit when he was training and would just see different things. And for him to perform like he did and put in the time, I think he did great. And I think the eyes he, and it's, you could tell by when they went to Puerto Rico, like the impact they had going down there. What a superstar he was. So, well, I mean, again, a lot of people ripped on him on you know, our thing. It was like, what is this doing? What is it doing? You have no idea the eyes. You just put on the product from a Latin community, from Mexico, you name it, whatever other foreign country that we have no clue on.
Well, we're talking about, I mean, another guy we can also mention is Logan Paul. I mean, he's a natural. I didn't know who he was other than through my kids. But that's the thing. I learned about this guy through my kids. And started to understand what YouTube was doing to the youth of America.
Oh yeah,
and how it was influencing it. So we can move on.
Yeah, but I was going to say we still probably don't know the impact Toby Keith had on helping Impact stay alive for those short years just by being involved. So I felt like I should bring it up. I mean, we don't really, you know, wax poetic on deaths here on the show, but I just felt like being part of Impact in the early days or TNA, we should have bring it up for a half second.
Oh, absolutely. I do want to
switch tracks here and talk about this Ugandan Soft Ground Wrestling League. I don't know if you guys have seen any of the videos online. It is entertaining as all get out. I have had a ball watching it. They recently, and I bring this up because it's kind of a fun conversation. Once again, talking about the reach of wrestlers, they started a GoFundMe this week. They had a $10,000 goal as of this recording. They're halfway there. Will Ospreay has donated $2,000. Jordan Grace, $200. Other wrestlers have been donating. And it's amazing to see, you know, a bunch of kids in Uganda who love wrestling create their own thing out of, you know, string and bamboo for the ring ropes. And wrestlers here pay attention to it and donate to help grow this thing.
I mean, it's a pretty wonderful little thing. I mean, it's you know, throwbacks of a lot of these guys and how they became professional. Mick Foley, for one. You know what I mean?
Like, right.
If you think that this kind of stuff is just new, it's not. It's been there forever. But what's endearing about it is that we're talking about, you know, on the other side of the planet. But, you know, and here are these kids with this love of performance, love of this art form known as professional wrestling. You know, I really want to see what they're able to do as far as, like, I want to see them, like, bring storylines in there and give us characters and give us, you know, character development and these types of things. Watching it is fun, but it's like, you know, regardless of what happens to it, if there's not something to sink your teeth into, you know, then obviously it's just going to be like one of those flash in the pan kind of trips. You know what I'm saying? I hope it's not, because I really want to see these guys succeed. I've watched it now and it's like, I get it. It's rad. I think it's super cool. I also like watching guys fighting in junkyards too. So, I mean, I love that stuff. I really do. I like any way that you can take this and give it a different look or give it a less, you know, produced thing, less of a glazed donut. That's why I love, like, you know, Schlack and these, you know, these crazy deathmatch guys, you know, like, I love this stuff because you can tell it's like, for them, it's a passion. And regardless if you like it or not as a fan or whatever it is, it's still a passionate, creative thing for these young guys. And I love it. I think it's wonderful. And I might actually just go give them a couple $100 myself.
I saw it in passing and I didn't realize what I was looking at because I didn't investigate it. It's, you know, it's a swipe click. Hey, look at this, guys. I'll go back and watch because I didn't realize the movement that was going on. But again, I don't know anything about the culture there or the, you know, poverty level or not poverty level. But again, more power to them for going out and, like you said, living the dream like all of us did. If you did this, if you'd be hard pressed unless you were an athlete brought into this business that you didn't as a kid play in your backyard, do suplexes in the pool, that type. I just watched for noise, I put in the background remembering Dusty Rhodes on the network where they were just kind of, you know, remembering him. Jerry Lawler was basically recapping the DVD he had. But Dusty talked about putting on shows when he was a kid in his backyard with garden hose. And I don't know why I missed that. I turned and looked. I'm like, I don't recall hearing that. It's where we all kind of started in some way, shape, or form. And until you find a way to buy a ring or buy training or how that goes, more power to them. You know, hey, I'll offer training to them if they want to bring me over.
Oh, corporate chill. Great. I will say corporate? This.
I love Kamala.
Scott D'Amore would be a great guy to hire.
Did you just break news? Scott D'Amore signed with Soft Ground Wrestling.
Well, I heard that he's doing commentary.
Yes. Him and Jesse Ventura.
CM Punk might be the world's most famous backyard wrestler, right, guys?
Well, you know what? He is.
I've said that before.
And who knows what this breeds, you know, and maybe 5, 6, 7 years from now with the right management, you know, you hear these stories of, you know, kids grow in wrestling and someone steals the money and they don't talk to people anymore. If this done right, we could see an influx of Ugandan wrestlers in WWE, Impact, and AEW in 5 to 10 years from now.
Do we get Kamala again?
Well, Kamala rest Jr. in peace. Rest in peace. You know, I was the bestest kimchi since the original kimchi. Did you know that story? He told me no. that. I was kimchi once, twice actually.
Wow.
Tell it. Well, you can't just say that and not say anything else. I was there twice and whatever.
So did you want to know?
Yes.
Okay, so, okay.
Not with that stupid fucking hat on. Go ahead. Sorry, bleep me, Dennis.
Beep.
Yeah, we ain't getting anyone on the show. I've been watching my tongue left and right, and you're fucking flying flargin everywhere there.
Finally. I'm trying. You've been keeping your tongue in your mouth.
I'm trying.
So, work a couple of shows for Dave Marquez in around Newark, New Jersey. He would remember this is actually on film somewhere. It's on YouTube. And the first night's a sold show to the city of Newark. Crowds everywhere. I mean, it's a great show. I get to work the original Midnight Express, neither here nor there. The next night is just a local show put on just to give the boys some work and a little payday. So there's not a lot of people there. It's a traditional indie show. Might have been a couple of hundred, 150 to 200 people, right? But all the same guys, minus, say, X-Pac was on it. Rock and Roll Express versus Midnight is on the undercard. They work, they go home. Earlier in the day, I'm picked up from the hotel, go to Subway, we're eating food, and we stand there, and Kamala is on the show. And I look over as we're in line at Subway, and I look at Dave Marquez and other people running a show, and I say, who's doing kimchi tonight? And they're like, well, I don't know. I go, and they're like, do you want to be kimchi? I said, yes, I do. So I wrestled the great John Walters, Boston area guy, great worker, Ring of Honor, pure champion, you know. Unfortunately, and we have a fun match. I found that too out there in the world. But I run back, shake his hand. Thanks, brother. Like, I didn't talk about the match at all. No disrespect to him, but is because of the respect given to Kamala. I run, grab the suit, and put on, you know, the safari outfit. And I go to Kamala, and it's Kamala against the Ring of Honor, for the Ring of Honor heavyweight title, Bryan Danielson.
Wow.
So I lead Kamala out, complete with authentic frontier gibberish out of my mouth, speaking Ugandan to Kamala. I even on the mic was like, oh, like I just made up some shit. And it's just this crazy match. It ends up that Kamala said, well, if Mr. Marquez, if Mr. Bryan isn't going to put me over, then I can't put him over. So they end up having like a big brawl. It's a DQ, all this stuff, all kinds of shenanigans go on. We get to the back. I come up to him and I said, sir, was everything okay? And he said, you are the bestest kimchi since the original kimchi. And I said, thank you, Mr. Kamala. To which I was rebooked in Ring of Honor years later, the same year as WrestleMania 25 in Houston. Adam Pearce booked me to be Kamala's kimchi one more time. So sick. I am the bestest kimchi. And it was heard. Dave Marquez heard it. You are the bestest kimchi since the original kimchi. Oh. There you go.
He says that to everybody that way.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably does, but I don't give a shit.
And finally, to wrap up this podcast, I'm sure we'll have some banter at the end here. I want to talk about the Brian Pillman stuff. It is awesome to see the name go back to the family finally. Apparently, and this comes from his family on Twitter, Brittany Pillman Evans, the daughter of Brian. I never thought I'd see this day, but after 27 years, my siblings and I finally own the rights to our father's legacy. She wrote, I just want to say thank you to all the fans for keeping my father's name alive. And because of all you, and the thanks to WWE for making this happen, stay tuned for new merch coming. Dude, I'm excited for some Brian Pillman merchandise.
That's cool. That's a very cool thing. He had a very, and I dare say, short career. Like, what an impactful career. You go back to the leaving WCW angle. And the Booker man, I can't remember his exact words, but when he called out Kevin Sullivan, and then depending on the story you hear, I think Bischoff tells it one way where, no, I didn't get worked. But a lot of people say that Pillman got out of his contract to make it look legit and then flew the coop because he knew what he was doing. But I mean, just revolutionary, just at that point to like find the pulse of shoot wrestling. And of course he went to ECW for this because the Attitude Era was ushered in by stealing a lot of the aspects of ECW wrestling. So what an impact all of this had.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty remarkable thing. His actual, what would you call it? What's the word I'm looking for?
Progression?
No. His body of work. How about that? If you think about like Ace, what you were saying, it was a very short time. It was almost a blip in a lot of ways for wrestling, you know, but the impact that he made, the amount of controversy, the amount of things that he did, the amount of cycle, he played the game so well that people are still talking about if what he did was a work or a shoot, you mm-hmm. know, and it's only the greats that you can really talk about that about. I mean, if you think about it, there's these little time capsules in professional wrestling where there were certain people at a time that didn't know if this was real or if this was scripted. Those are the best performers. I think we're getting a lot of that these days. It's obviously on WWE TV, but that's where I'm seeing the most of it, where it's actually, you actually believe that it's a real passionate, intimate, emotional journey for this human being. And that's what this business is about. It's about, you know, connecting with somebody. And Brian Pillman, whether you liked him or not, and most of the time you didn't, you had an emotional response to him. And, you know, it was never go away heat. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Oh, no. Yeah.
So, and I mean, there are guys out there right now that have so much go away heat that's like just insane. But my point is that Brian Pillman, his legacy and what he was able to bring to the world of professional wrestling, like we're going to be talking about it, I think, for years to come. And I'm happy that it goes back to his family because, you know, that's the one thing that I've always, you know, sort of not liked about professional wrestling is like, to own these characters and to own these gimmicks, I understand all that, but it reminds me of the old school record labels giving people Cadillacs for records. And, you know, when you're part of a something like a character, it's you who's built that character. The character might have been somebody's idea, but it's up to that individual to make that character successful. He should own a part of that. Because if you think about it, it's like a house. It's like you get equity, right? And with wrestling or with a song, it starts at zero, okay? It comes with an idea. And then all the equity that you build, right? Somebody needs to you know, I think that the person who creates the idea obviously should get part of that equity. But it's when it boils right down to it, it's the person that is selling you that idea. And they should be the majority shareholder of that equity. You know, it makes perfect sense. It's why, you know, it's like Nick, whatever. I could lose myself in this, but I'm happy for his family.
He probably wasn't the first, but at that age, when I was watching WCW, I grew up on it. I loved it. He might've been, for me growing up, the guy that revolutionized going from blonde haired baby face, Cincinnati Bengal, flying crossbody, the psycho. And there may be guys, and you'll probably chime in when I ask this question, but for me, there were two guys that had the wild eyes that just you got lost in the psychoness of the wild eyes. And Pillman was one. And the other one, I'd say WrestleMania 13, Kim Shamrock versus The Rock for the Intercontinental Championship, where he snaps and starts suplexing all the refs, and he just had these wild eyes. And, you know, for you guys, when you think of a Brian Pillman-esque psycho character doing it best, who did that character best at that time?
I'm looking at a photo of a different version of what you're saying, but in a monster. I'm looking at Bruiser Brody for that. What you're talking about is the crazy eyes and the man that looks like he's a maniac. That's who I'm looking at for that. Pillman and Brody had a promo as well. He had a different, you know, he was more soft-spoken, like a higher voice, but he was very intelligent. That's why they called him the intelligent monster. But Pillman, to me, I see that with what you're saying for sure. Like, he morphed into that person, but the white meat baby face, shall I say, into a heel. And when he became a heel, the Hollywood Blondes, like, they were a tag team when I was starting to wrestle that I gravitated to. And I still love old school Steve Austin. Those are, you know, stunning Steve Austin those days. Huge Hollywood Blondes fan, like the psychology in their matches with Steamboat and Douglas. And the way he morphed back into a baby face, but then into this ultimate heel that played off a new version of the Four Horsemen and then changed into everything else. Just the transition. It was really kind of seamless. You know, if you watch those years, he just morphed into that person.
And Nord the Barbarian is my guy.
He's a Brody, like a Brody guy. Yeah. Nord the Barbarian. I mean, there's a lot of crazy, like, again, I'm looking right at Bruiser Brody, but like those crazy eyes and those wild eyes and the blurring the lines. And you said it yourself, Lars, suspending disbelief. And that's what I always teach anyway in wrestling. Like, when you watch a movie, you don't want to see the holes in the work or the fighting. I say the same about the pro wrestling that you're putting on in front of people, but it's more than just the performance art. It's the feeling it's bringing people into this and getting them to come out of their seats for a promo because they care. Now they care about Drew McIntyre. He's got a whole new lease on this character. And they hate him when he comes out. Dominic Mysterio, they hate him. Doesn't matter what he does in the ring almost anymore. You know, they just cannot stand him. The suspending of disbelief when Pillman walked out and said he was going to take a leak in the middle of the ECW ring, you know, like for their crowd, like, that's pretty harsh. That's not hitting mainstream Saturday night's main event, but he knew how to work he knew his audience. He learned his audience when he went to WWF. You know, they call it Pillmanizing the ankle. That's when you fold the chair a certain way and crush the ankle. It's called Pillmanizing now. That's what everyone calls it. So, I mean, there's just so many, even though that was done to him, it was still like a great innovation, you know, just the innovative things again that he did in such a short time. Amazing.
Yeah, I'm trying to think about.
I'm sorry. I was going to say good for Alexis King. Good for his son that he's around this. He gets to, though he's not, they're not burdening. I see why they don't burden him with the name that he's Brian Pillman Jr. They haven't strayed from acknowledging it, but, you know, at least they didn't do to him. They didn't make him Michael McGillicuddy or Curtis Axel, you know. Hard name to live up to with the name Hennig, but it's two different things.
Yeah, I mean, AEW dropped the ball in a massive way on him. I mean, that could have been money, but they missed it. Once again, I feel like they missed the boat on him. And so I'm happy for his situation now. And I think it's only befitting. I feel like it came full circle for him. And I'm glad to see that he's at a place where he's going to be nurtured a lot. As far as like the scary eyed baby face or to turn that way. I mean, I always loved when Macho Man did it. Like, it was believable for me to watch him do it, you know? And I feel like he was the precursor to that. I believe if we never saw Macho with that kind of manic thing happening where he would just kind of get up on the rope and just, you know, double fist or whatever. Like, I don't think we would have believed in Pillman so much. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Sure, sure.
Pillman took it to the nth degree, okay? But I feel like a guy like Macho, Bruiser, even Stan Hansen to a certain degree.
Yeah, I was going to say Hansen's up here too, yeah.
You know, there's a lot of guys out there, but I feel like it's a lost art. I mean, who in today's modern wrestling or in the last 15 years do you get that? I don't react to anybody like that. I can't think of anybody that I could go off the top of my head where I can go,
One that would come close for me is during his legend killer era of Randy Orton, when he was punting people in the head, killing. The closest. That's all. I'm not saying he did it. No, that was the closest.
It was always. Go ahead. Sorry.
I always feel that they were looking for a Bruiser Brody over the years. I even had a tryout against a gentleman named Jeff Bradley from down here in Florida that's trained a lot of people. He was, I can't remember what, he was actually a Dudley as well. But he had the look. He was a Florida guy, a good worker. But I always felt over the years they would always try to find someone that, I mean, because imagine if Brody went there in the late 80s, had he still been alive, had he had a run with Hogan, you know, even though they were feeding him top heels to like just get, you know, to get beat. But I think he would have been a hell of a force in that company. I feel like they always looked for someone like that over the years. I feel you might have had that in Luke Harper, but they didn't make him go that way.
Right.
There was
I mean Bray Wyatt could have gone that way too, you know.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. But they made, you know, and I feel like he was a very creative guy though, and I see what he was doing as far as like Bray Wyatt and how his legacy will live on and his contribution. That was the word I was looking for about Pillman. Contribution to pro wrestling is, I feel like, you know, the last guy that really gave me the shivers was Psycho Sid, man. I mean,
sure.
That's really the last
crazy
guy.
Eyes, yeah.
You know, he, to me, I never knew. I, you know, I met him once and he was the nicest, you know, and it kind of blew it for me in a lot of ways. For me, you know, I legit was like, whoa, you know, and scared.
Back, you know, one more person, Terry Funk, because I know Pillman was a huge Terry Funk fan. I swear to you, when I was 16, 17 years old, I think that's around the time that he was still like in WCW at the UIC Pavilion, man. He took a swing and I was against the guardrail, the barricade, and I would have sworn he would have knocked my block off. But obviously, you know, the distance, and he just took that wild swing. I was like, Jesus, he was going to hit me.
Cactus
but it
Jack.
wasn't him. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Foley, definitely, when he started with all the, you know, he, I guess in the Mankind era too, but Cactus Jack himself really went for the, you know, the no nonsense. I've got nothing to lose. I'm going to kill you if it kills me.
Yeah. Cause I feel like the Randy Ortons of the world, that's super contrived. You know, it's just, it's not believable to me. And when you got tribal tattoos, you're not going to make me believe. Sorry. No matter how many skulls you try to cover it up with.
Well, that's nice, because I always thought the same thing with Batista, who had the belly button tattoo. I was like, how tough is a, like, I like Batista, but when a guy comes out with a little sun around his belly button, I'm like, dude, what do you do?
It's like having a tramp stamp, you know what I mean? So, but I mean, I enjoy Batista's movies and his personality in those movies more than I ever enjoyed his wrestling.
That's interesting. I, you know, that we're going to have to deep dive on that in one episode, but
I will go to a movie if Batista's in it, but I will not go back and watch a match that Batista's in.
Ace, do you agree with that?
I won't go search it. Okay. It's like The Rock. Let's bring it here real fast. Okay.
Yep.
Because this is a big topic right now and I don't want to ignore it. Because we're in the thick of it right now.
Well, we were going to talk about it at the end here now.
Okay, but all right. Well, what were you, how are you going to open it up, Dennis?
I was going to basically say, guys, we need to step back and talk about the Cody Rock, Roman Reigns, Rollins situation right now. Everybody on the internet is backlashing the WWE right now. They've got to, you know.
Including me.
Yep. And we'll definitely, because I have a different, I know. We all, I think, have different point of views, which I love it when we don't agree. But it's interesting to see now the people getting behind Cody. During the last podcast when we talked about this a little bit, we kind of harkened back to Daniel Bryan, WrestleMania, the triple threat match with Batista. So here we go. We don't know your opinion, Lars, so please tell us what you think right now.
Well, I feel like it's very involved. Okay, so like if I like you in personally, there's a great chance I might like your band. Okay? But when I know that you're not a good person, I'm probably not going to like your band. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. I'm just going to paraphrase it, or just, you know, start it there. The Rock, For me, I never was a fan, although I bought his book because obviously there's the Rocky Johnson. Rocky Johnson and Tony Atlas was the first wrestling I ever saw as a tag team. That's what made me fall in love with tag teams to begin with. And that's what, in a lot of ways, I'll give it to Rocky Johnson for making me fall in love with pro wrestling, because I'm a Bay Area guy, San Francisco. This was their, all these guys were from here. All the Samoans were from the Mission District. They were lived in San Jose. They lived, you know what I'm saying? It was very tangible. It was very real for me because they were there. The Rock always, sort of, his whole thing was to relate with the lowest common denominator of pro wrestling fan to me. It was never like smart, like a Jake the Snake, a CM Punk, a Terry Funk, a Dusty Rhodes, an Arn Anderson, these guys that, even Stone Cold, or even Hulk Hogan, or even Ultimate Warrior, as much as he was gibberish. But The Rock always sort of went for that lowest common denominator, and I always felt it was always cheap. And he always just he so I never liked him. I thought, oh, that's easy. I could go out there and just be a jock, jock guy, and talk about poontang pie and whatever. It didn't resonate with me. And knowing the history and like how many times he's stepped on people to get what he wants, I just don't think he's a good person, maybe. I don't know. That's the feeling I get. I've never met the guy, so I can't really judge him, but I just know that there's no connection for me there. Cody Rhodes, I've met him. Cody Rhodes, when him and Punker were still in the WWE the first time, talked comic books. And Marvel, the Civil War had just come out, Marvel trade. And I was on a loop. And at the Raw, Cody came up and gave me his copy and said, I'm done with it here. That's what, and found me to give me the book, right? Which I still have. But that's the kind of guy Cody is, right? And I think people understand that that's actually legit him. He's a good person. Now, you can go on the internet and find all the crazy stuff about Rock and Oprah Winfrey ripping off Maui, and I don't know if any of that's true. That's just on the internet, and it's probably just clickbait to get looks or whatever. So I won't judge him
Everything
on
on the
that.
internet's true.
As we all know. I mean, Ace
Oprah's
Steele,
doing
I'm like,
commentary next week with CM
there we
Punk,
go.
by the way.
There we go. There we go.
NXT.
So NXT, CM
Yeah.
Punk, Scott D'Amore and Oprah Winfrey are doing commentary. So for me, I feel like he's an opportunist. And I think as a wrestler, you have to be that. But I feel like Cody loves this thing more than The Rock ever did, in a lot of ways. And I think that just the homogenization of him, and obviously you hear things, you know what I mean? I don't want to see that guy. He left. Like, it's okay. Just go on. Move on with your movie career. You've made a pot, your piles of money. Just go away. I want to see Cody Rhodes, who's in his 30s, finish his story. And I understand on a business sense, Rock and Roman, that's, but was WrestleMania going to be any less successful? So that argument to me is not valid. Because it's already sold a gazillion tickets for both nights.
Sure,
And
sure.
you understand, it's not going to make it that much more successful. Would it put more eyes on it, maybe from the it's kind of like, how the Kansas City Chiefs, their PR, with Taylor Swift, in the NFL with the PR with the Taylor Swift. They wanted to bring more eyes to this. I mean, it's a PR stunt. It's nothing more, nothing less. You can see right through it, especially when you're in the business and you see that stuff. You know when it's contrived. There's nothing real about that. There's nothing real about it.
Ace, can I jump in here?
No, go right ahead.
I think Rock coming back is the best thing that ever happened to Cody. How many times on this podcast when we talk about Cody, I've always said Cody needs that moment where he feels like the underdog. The people get behind him and push him up, like the Daniel Bryan situation. Here we are.
But that's what I was about to say, but you cut me off. You're a jerk.
Hey, listen, there's very few times I ever say anything smart on the show. Very that's few. True. That's true. Very. So give me just one. Just one. Thank you. This is what Cody needs. If WWF or E was smart, they would continue on this path of Roman Rock and let the fans get behind Cody. Don't give Cody the match yet, because I still want to see Cody chase it a little bit more. I want to see Cody suck this in. I want to see Cody use this moment to his advantage to lift him up to that next level. Does he need it? Maybe not, but it's helping him. It's putting him on that level with The Rock. This is Cody Rhodes' moment. He doesn't need that match right now. His story doesn't need to be completed at WrestleMania. And if you complete the story at WrestleMania, then what more do we have to go on? The story's over. I don't want the story to be over just yet. I want this to be a long ride where I can see the ups and the downs, where I can see Cody almost have that ring and it's taken away from him. And now he has to try even harder. That's the Cody Rhodes I want to see. And that's the Cody Rhodes I feel like we're going to start getting.
And another point I wanted to make is that a lot of people are sour on The Rock. So it makes him really look like this ultimate villain. You know what I mean? And this is where I was going to go with it. I was going to go deep psychologically. And that is beautiful, because that's going to make Cody for the Roman's going to leave. We know that, right? He's not going to stick around. But they need that guy to replace Roman. Cody is obviously the face of that company and will be for the next. And think about how dusty roads this is all. All of this storyline, all of this speed bumps, these little things. This is all very Dusty-esque, so to speak. So as a fan, I want to see Cody finish this story. As a business mind, I'm saying Cody's got to wait. But you never let me get there, so I hate
you. I'm sorry.
You both brought up the Daniel Bryan. I don't remember who did it first. I think Daniel Bryan needed that way back when, because CM Punk left. Mm-hmm. Daniel Bryan was coming up. It was a failed Batista return because they made him a babyface.
Right.
If he hadn't been a babyface, had he been a heel, like creative has done so many times, this is the person you're going to see. You know, I don't think it was the right time to beat the Undertaker with Roman back then. He wasn't ready yet. There's a time to be ready. But it was a clear case of, no, you have to have this guy. No, we have to have Batista. And the people weren't buying it. I know there's online backlash about The Rock. I don't know if I feel it in the venues just yet. Like, right. Again, we've had this talk about so many different things, especially dealing with Punk and anything that's happened in his prior history in the last couple of years. A majority of that audience doesn't know. They might not even know that he came back to wrestling at all. They just know he's back here and they're excited for it. They don't know the history of anything that's gone down because they don't read the internet. It is a small section of the world. It's more prevalent than we give it credit for, but I think when The Rock walks in the arena, they love it. And I agree with you on the Cody storyline. It's akin to the Bloodline. They stumbled on something, just a happy accident with that Bloodline. And when it ended, where do we go? They're still kind of stretching it out, but shit, it's gone. That train is roll on, and they're reaching at the end of all that it's got to finally crumble so they can come back to square one and, you know, Roman makes a triumph, whatever happens with him at some point.
Because, I mean, the logical thing to do is Roman Rock, Cody, Seth. Cody beats Seth, but says, you know, but see, that's the thing. They both sort of, Cody doesn't really want that title. Does that make sense? It's like, if they didn't go there with that and then use that after he won, I think that would be a little bit better. Does that make sense?
We had this talk the other day about, I thought they should have never split the titles again. Mm-hmm. They should have kept it one. It would have made all this so much freaking easier. So much easier. But You know, I wasn't involved in that decision, obviously. And they had reasons for doing it.
And I think that what they're trying to do is legitimize the other title with Seth. I haven't. And but I mean, honestly, if I'm the booker and if I'm like looking at this stuff long term, you know, I'm like you said, Dennis, I don't want Cody to get it. I want to be strung along for another year because this is, it's not going to kill Cody. It will not kill Cody. Cody, that remember what they said last time? And I was like, I'm glad. Remember? I mean, I was on this podcast saying, no, that was the right move. Remember?
Yes.
And everybody's like, no, Cody should have won. And I said, no, this is perfect. And honestly, to bring The Rock in here, and I know I said a bunch of personal stuff, but my point was to try to make makes him the ultimate villain in all of this. That makes Cody the ultimate babyface. It does nothing like you, and it proves your point. It nothing but elevates Cody that much more.
And, you know, there's a great piece of the story that's getting drowned out by the we want Cody and we don't like Rock thing is going into WrestleMania, Seth Rollins has never beaten Cody Rhodes. Seth Rollins is the champion coming into this thing. Yeah. You know, Seth Rollins has a story to tell in this whole thing. And it's if people would just listen to that, it would make the Cody Rollins match a little bit mean a little bit more like, oh, you know, here's a guy trying to legitimize this champion who has his David right in front of him or his Goliath. And he's the David as a champion. And, you know, it makes that match a little bit more meaningful, but people don't want to hear that right now. I wouldn't say wrap this up, but I always like to spin topics into a question. Here's a question for this, guys. Is this a happy accident with the Rock and then, you know, Cody and the fans backlash? Or is there some evil genius in the WWE that was like, hey, the Rock's going to come back. We can make the fans get behind Cody. We can make the fans start a movement. Because I don't know. But, you know, I kind of heard someone bring this up that this could have been an evil genius plan for WWE marketing all along. And we're just riding in on the horse with them.
Well, the interesting thing to throw in the mix is CM Punk was not figured in if it was a master plan all along. So not only was he not figured in from the get-go, he pops in November of 2023. Boom, there's a change. So what do you do at WrestleMania? You've got a new story that you got to take care of. And you have a new, you have a star unlike anyone else that you could bring in from anywhere. I don't care who you bring in, you know, unless you got Austin to walk back in, you know, unless you got Austin to walk back in the door, no one is going to have this, you know, even close to the impact. So having him come in, there's that monkey wrench. I do believe there could be some evil genius, you know, once Punker went on the shelf and okay, well, now what do we do with this puzzle?
Well, that's the thing I was going to say. I feel like the injury is more where the evil genius starts than beforehand. I feel like we all knew it was going to be Seth and Rollins, or excuse me, Seth and Punk interference with Drew. Something would happen with Drew, and then it would go from there, right? Seth gets injured. Okay, that's no problem. We'll just beat Seth there. Punk and Drew, now you start your thing because Drew, you never got to beat Seth. You know, get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So that works itself out. And then we were probably going to get Cody and Roman, but then they're like, well, we left this door open here with Rock. Now that we got to go with it because now these two guys that were supposed to be night two are both out. One guy can go, but you know what I mean? What's the better alternative? I'm sorry. It's not going to be Rock and Seth. It's going to be Rock and Roman because that's what we've been all taught. I mean, when did we see Seth and Roman and Rock together? When's the last time we saw that? Can anybody recall?
Was that when Rock tried to help Roman get over by coming out to WrestleMania and raise his hand?
Yes.
Okay. That's the last time we've seen them side by side, right?
Sure. Yeah. I was going to throw in one that this is a happy accident that I'd love to see. I'd love to see Drew McIntyre just fuck all this up and win the title and go to WrestleMania, and he's standing on the opposite side of the ring of Cody Rhodes.
Well, but Elimination Chamber has to happen.
Right. And then, or he ends up in the match. They make it a, I know everyone hates three ways. I don't quite hate three ways if done properly.
But if they're somehow, done right, it's good.
Right. If done right, it's good. And I would like to see something with, I don't want Drew to be done at this point. I hope they still capitalize, because you don't get a second chance at the first impression type thing. And he had such momentum when he knocked Brock out of that Royal Rumble before the pandemic happened. Holy shit, was he on fire. Like, that Rumble's a great one to watch. That was a well-booked Rumble. You know, the eliminations and that, you know, the everything with Brock, like Brock killing people and getting rid of them, and then he took them out. The momentum he had, pandemic came, basically cut his balls push off, cut his balls off there. So, you know, he won in front of no people. So now he's got the angst of all that coming back, and they've gotten a chance with the Punk injury and the last two promos and everything that's happened. Now we've got Drew McIntyre that we care about. Now we've got a guy that we hate this MF-er. We hate this dude. I think the crowd hates this guy, especially since the angle of putting Punk out. Oh, so God. If he can keep this momentum going, I need promo to see him do something at Mania that makes sense to me, and then it's strong.
That promo that him and Punk did was,
yeah,
it was unreal. I mean, that was just, that was pro wrestling.
Can you give your hearts? Can you give your hearts?
Nope.
Let's wrap this up. I want to go eat.
All right. So you missed it, Lars. At the end of the show now, we get to listen to Ace still put over his wrestling school that he has going on now.
Oh, sick.
So
how do I get out of this?
No, how do you get out? Yeah.
Click
go eat
X.
Your fucking baklava, asshole.
Whatever. I hate baklava. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't even quite know what that is.
It's Greek. It's a Greek dessert.
Remember the tips I gave you? Remember still the tips I gave you when promoting. Talk about the guys you
why don't you only promote it then? I just sit
only here. A worldly individual would know what baklava is. So Dennis, you should know what baklava is. I mean, Detroit, it's got a huge Greek population.
Yeah.
It's a I dessert. Know what a gyro is. I know what a gyro is, you know. A gyro is a great Chicago dish. You call it
anyway,
a gyro?
What's wrong with you? Cool. We're done. This is not the culinary hour with Ace Steele. Let's move it, buddy. Right, talk about
go.
Your school.
Come on,
get out
talk
of here.
About your school. Let's go.
Harley Race Training is coming to Orlando, Florida, by way of the Foundation of Professional Wrestling. I will be opening up a school. Details still further coming. I just promote it and put it out there. Website is the Foundation of Professional Wrestling. You can see my handle at Aces of Steel for updates. Follow me on Instagram. There's Instagram for everything. Moving forward with branding my Harley Race Training, that I'm utilizing all the things that I've learned from Harley over the years and my association with him, all the things he taught me. I am bringing that to every workshop I do. Again, I do workshops. I don't do seminars. I don't stand there and tell you stories. You'll get some stories in my jibber jabber in between
that's
working
where,
in the ring.
That's where I come in.
Yeah. Lars has come in to tell you stories about when he looked at Lemmy taking a shot of whatever over at the whiskey. Is that true? Did that happen?
No, but I've seen him drink.
Okay, there you go. That's what Lars is for. But over the years, all the people that I've trained and worked with, you will get the benefit of that. I'm just excited to get this going and bring some love back to professional wrestling and the things we talked about, suspending disbelief, which I always believe, and helping you up your game. If you're a current professional wrestler, and I've talked to a lot of you out in the scene that get a hold of me and look for ways to improve their game. Things like that are coming. But I will have a location that we can train. We can do one-on-one training and then brand new professional wrestlers. Let's break you in. Recently, Grayson Waller has put me over on podcast. You know I trained CM Punk, many others. Adam Pearce will say that I NWA heavyweight champion, not just the official on television. a very accomplished professional wrestler himself, will tell you that I have taught him so much that I won't take credit for. And I hate even saying these things. It's hard for me to put myself over, but more to come.
All right, Lars, give us some help, some hearts on the way out. Really.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.